The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
This mini lesson is one of a series, walking through what the Bible teaches about eldership and its importance in the church. As you consider these sessions, please pray with us and ask the Lord to guide our church in finding and calling elders. Thank you.
All right. Well, as the lights come back up, and this is when I'm supposed to...
Yeah.
Okay, good. As the lights come back up, everybody grab your Bibles and turn to Titus. And we are going to be talking a little bit more about elders in Titus. And as we do that, I want you to make sure that you have this up in front of you, because it's important that you know that I'm not making any of this up. Because I might. No, I might not. So... we're going to be in Titus. We'll also reference Luke. So if you have more than one finger, definitely put the other one in the book of Luke, chapter 12. So we're going to be talking about that. But as you guys find those passages and flip them open, I was just thinking about the traits of elders the other day, and I couldn't help but notice that. You know, I love movies. I love watching movies and TV, and I think it's just really interesting that a lot of the heroes that we see in movies and TV that we say, oh, those that have very heroic traits, those are the very traits that we're talking about in many of the characteristics of elders. And I think it's interesting that I feel like the Lord has wired us to resonate with those kinds of stories. And if you think about characters who act with integrity when they could choose not to, like Braveheart or Captain Picard. Yes, I'm pulling a Star Trek reference here. Or those who are leaders but who are still loyal and subservient to their king. I think of Robin Hood. You know, he did his own thing, but when King Richard shows up, he bows his knee. Maximus, a great general. Many people followed him, and yet at the same time, when Marcus Aurelius shows up, he says, I'm here to serve you. So, these kinds of stories, when they're servants, but they're putting others before their own desires, you can even go as far as saying Wonder Woman, Superman. You look at real life examples, Dr. Martin Luther King, Gandhi. These have characteristics of servanthood and obedience to leadership, and we see those things in the characteristics of elders. So we'll look at that in Titus here, but as a reminder to what this is one elder mini lesson, so this is in a series of elder mini lessons looking at the characteristic of elders, looking at the purpose of elders, why they're here for the church, and we want to be educating ourselves on what elders are here for as we get ready to call elders in 2019. So it's on us to be informed about that. And if you missed any of the elder mini lessons, you can go find those on the podcast. They're on our website. They're on the Apple, whatever, on the iPhone. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we've already covered. So we're in Titus. We're looking through the characteristics of elders in Titus. So that's primarily chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And a couple weeks ago, Rick started covering this, and he explained that this is a letter from Paul to Titus. Titus is ministering to the people on the island of Crete, and Paul is giving him the mandate, go find and choose elders in all the cities of Crete. It's your job. These are the characteristics of elders. And again, this is a letter written to Titus, but at the same time, this is going to be read to all of the churches in Titus. They're going to stand up in front of church, just like I'm doing now, and they're going to read this letter. They're going to read the mandate that Titus has. They're going to read the characteristics of elders. So this is an instruction to the church, not just to Titus, but certainly giving him the mandate to do so. So 4 weeks ago, Rick pointed out that elders are subordinate to God. They're teachers of what Jesus taught, and elders are called to teach. They're called to look to Jesus as their example, and then in that example, to say to the church, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's straight from 1 Corinthians 11. 2 weeks ago, Chris reminded us that there is one chief shepherd, and elders serve underneath that chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. And also that the roles that are called out in many of the books of the Bibles are one role: pastor, overseer, elder, bishop. Those are all synonymous terms for this one role of those who are stewards for the Lord, who are overseers, and who are pastoring the flock of God. So that was 2 weeks ago. And these characteristics that Titus is talking, or Paul is talking about here to Titus, and that we'll see again in 1 Timothy as we get there, these characteristics are not talking about perfection. We know that only one was perfect, Jesus Christ. They're talking about, however, rather, and I love the way he phrased it, I wrote it down, rather a pattern of life when the gospel really settles into someone's heart. And I love the way that that's said. So how do we tell when that's happened? And so Chris talked about 2 weeks ago, we look at the family. And that's verse 6 here. And we look at the family, we understand how is that man shepherding his family. The Puritans like to say you can't shepherd the big church until you can shepherd the little church. And Puritans got some things wrong, but that one they're right on. And then Chris pointed out that there's an important tension in here in that the things that the elders are being called to here, the characteristics that we're looking at here, are definitely characteristics that all Christians are encouraged to seek and to follow and to have. And yet at the same time, we know that only one has done these perfectly, and that's Jesus Christ. So elders are then examples of those who are doing that well, who are an example to the rest of the flock. So we're going to read Titus chapter 1, 5 through 9, and we'll be looking primarily at verse 7 here. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Okay, so one thing that we'll see in looking at the way that Paul describes elders, both in Titus and in 1 Timothy, is that it's character first. There are absolutely skills that an elder needs to have, but it's character first. And so as you chew on this stuff and as we think about it over the weeks, be thinking about the fact that it's not necessarily just the ability to teach. It's not just necessarily the ability to open the Bible and to defend. It's character for caring for the flock. All right, so let's look at this piece by piece. And as we do in verse 7, the main point here is that elders are acting as God's stewards for the church and that they recognize that they are not the king. Okay, so piece by piece, verse 7. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless. So this is the idea of a steward, someone who is not the king and yet is entrusted by the king to run the household. So this would be the chief servant of the household. And they were responsible for overseeing all of the master's affairs, his family, and his property. So we look at the Old Testament, we see examples of this. Abraham had Eliezer, who had the very important task of being sent way across the country to go find a wife for Isaac. That's not the kind of thing that you trust just anybody to do. This is a steward who's in charge of his family. When Jacob was with Laban and seeking his fortune, he was Laban's steward in charge of all of the flocks, all of Laban's property. Joseph in Egypt was the steward for Potiphar's household. And then you see examples of this in Chronicles and Kings. King Elah, notably, it said he had a steward named Arza. So it's all across the Old Testament. And then if you've got your other finger in Luke, let's read Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 42 through 46. And this is what Jesus himself says about faithful servants and stewards. Verse 42. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while? and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk, the master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. So it's heavy stuff, but I want you to notice that the same flaws in that servant that Jesus is pointing out are the same ones we see here. So Jesus says, beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. In Titus 1:7, he says, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. It's one and the same list here. Verse 7 says that elders must be, and we're going to look at this one at a time. These are all things where they're fruit of a heart that puts the self on the throne instead of Jesus Christ. So that's the root of all of this. Verse 7, the elders must not be arrogant and overbearing, believing themselves to be important more than they are. Self-centered thinking is where the root of that. Not quick-tempered, which would be being impatient with the people and the world around them. Self-centered thinking, again, is the root of that behavior. Given to drunkenness, indulgent in pleasure, to the point of making it an idol, a refuge, and elevating it as king above Jesus Christ. And pursuing dishonest gain, failure to recognize that Jesus is omniscient and will judge us in how we obey his commands. Again, you look back at what Jesus said about the master coming home and knowing exactly what's going on and taking that. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I will know that you love me when you obey my commands. So pursuing dishonest gain is directly against that. So if I sum all this up, and again, I don't want to spend too much time on this here, the flaws here are a fruit of a heart that puts the self on the throne rather than Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is king and if we are responsible stewards of what he truly is, we will act as his steward, his servants who care for his affairs and his family. So how do we all take this and apply this? As you mull over and consider all of the things that the Bible is telling us about elders, be thinking about what an elder is not, as well as what an elder is. And be thinking about that not just on what you guys think it should be, but what the Bible says about it. Be praying that the Lord would help each of us strive towards those positive character traits and away from those negative character traits. Again, these are things that all Christians are called to not be and to be, depending on which part of the passage we're looking at here, but one where elders do that well. And then verse 7 again, the main point that I took away from this is that elders are acting as God's stewards for the church, and they recognize that they are not the king. So be praying that the Lord would provide qualified men for Foundation Life Bible Church that we can call in 2019. Okay? And that's all I have. So, Sam.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.